Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
This certainly isn't how I envisioned this or planned this, but I am going to retire. This is not an easy decision. Honestly, it's the hardest decision of my life, but it is the right decision for me.
What's up, guys? Today's date is August 25th. I'm Steven Masso, and as always, you're listening to Via the Source. Now, today's episode is, of course, going to be started off with the huge announcement of Andrew Luck's retirement. Other news that will be covered include Lamar Miller tearing his ACL. We'll be talking about Kyler Murray's performance yesterday, and we'll also be discussing some trade rumors with the Miami Dolphins and whether they are true or not.
For the last 4 years or so, I've been in this cycle of injury, pain, rehab, injury, pain, rehab. And it's been unceasing and unrelenting, both in season, both in and off season. And I felt stuck in it. And the only way I see out is to no longer play football. It's taken my joy of this game away.
So to start it off, Andrew Luck announced his retirement basically out of the blue. It was an announcement that to me was unprecedented. I had never seen anything like it. It set the internet ablaze. ESPN's website crashed. Everybody on Twitter was talking about Andrew Luck's retirement. And why it is so unprecedented is because he retired while playing at an elite level right before the season, right towards the end of preseason. He announced his retirement after having a very good season last year, after going to the playoffs, after being the comeback player of the year, having a team that many thought had a chance at a Super Bowl. I wouldn't have gone that far, but they look like a really solid team. And with an elite quarterback like Andrew Luck, anything could happen. So the fact that he retired like this out of nowhere was a shock to just basically every football fan. Now, to talk about Andrew Luck himself, Andrew Luck, I think, was one of the most likable people in the NFL. It was hard to find somebody who didn't like Andrew Luck. I think we'd all seen the clips of Andrew Luck being sacked and him saying great hit every time he was sacked to the defender. And things like that are just unheard of in the NFL. He was just such a likable person. On top of that, he is also a very intelligent person. So when he makes this announcement, know that this was a very well thought out plan for him. This isn't just some instinctive thing. You can tell that Andrew Luck put some thought into this. So during the press conference, you could tell by his tone that this was a man that exhausted all the options he had. He had just been taking such a beating physically, and it was really starting to affect him mentally. And that was one of the main themes, that mentally he was worn out. And on top of that, the toll that his body had taken was just becoming too much. And that was sucking the love out of the game for him. And that's when he decided to step away. So recently this season, Andrew Luck suffered a calf strain that had many questioning whether he would be able to start for the opening day. And he said if it wasn't for this calf strain, there may have been a possibility that he would be good to go, but that may have just kind of been a tipping point for him. Other injuries were, of course, that shoulder injury that just lingered for so many years, and there was so much doubt whether he would play again. It just became a huge, weird issue. There was the other injuries he had, the abdominal tear, and he also suffered a lacerated kidney. His offensive line for years was just really bad, but you never once heard him complain about the situation he was in, yet every NFL fan knew Andrew Luck was an elite quarterback in a very bad situation given his offensive line. He took a beating, he was injured so many times, and you never heard him put blame anywhere on his own team. Now, aside from the person, if we look at the player he was, coming out of college, I had never heard of a college prospect that was as high regarded as a guy like Andrew Luck. There was a whole suck for luck thing that many teams were striving for. He was just such a talent at such a young age that it was very unheard of a talent like this coming out of college. And he was able to translate to the NFL almost seamlessly. He was a four-time Pro Bowler. He led the NFL in touchdown passes back in 2014. And then again, he was also the comeback player of the year just last season. So this is a retirement of a guy who's only 29 years old, retiring in his prime on a very good team. So it was just very unprecedented. And surprisingly, there are people that are knocking Andrew Luck for deciding to retire. One tweet even said that this is such a millennial thing to do, not wanting to rehab and retire instead, which is truly just one of the most ridiculous things that I've ever seen on the internet. Here's a guy who's taking a beating constantly, over and over again. He doesn't owe anything to the fans to continue taking this beating. Another tweet said that he owes it to the season ticket holders. I don't understand the sense in that. To put your body through more and more of this pain to the point where it's affecting you mentally. This is a guy that has a lot of money. He's not going to have to deal with any struggles financially for the rest of his life. He's getting out of this painful career at the age of 29. He said that he wants to travel the world with his wife. It's hard for me to knock him for making this decision. And on top of that, it's not like football was strictly just a job for him. This was his sense of purpose. I think when anybody loses their sense of purpose, it is going to hurt him, and it's going to hurt Andrew Luck. You could tell by how he was speaking about it that he knows exactly what he's letting go of. So for people to say that Andrew Luck is just walking away from the game and he didn't want to go to rehab and it's just he's blowing off the team, that's just such a ridiculous argument to make. So I wish Andrew Luck the best at whatever he does next. Like I said, he's a very smart person, so I'm sure he'll find something else that he's great at. I wouldn't rule out the possibility of him returning to the NFL just because you could hear in his tone that he loves the sport of football so much. He loves being part of a team. You could tell that these guys that he was playing with, he truly feels that they're family and they're brothers to him. And the final note I'm going to leave you on is how he spoke about his longtime favorite receiver, T.Y. Hilton, because that connection was one of the greatest in my lifetime, at least. I'm only 24, but the connection between those two, though it was short, was a truly marvelous thing. The way he speaks about him almost made me shed a tear. It was really nice to hear. This is what he had to say about T.Y. Hilton.
T.Y. Hilton. I had more fun throwing the football to T.Y. than should be allowed, probably. When I was away in 2017 for the latter half of the season, I had to figure out why I wanted to come back and play football. And I boiled it simply down to the fact that I like throwing the ball to my friends, and I love throwing the ball to T.Y. Hilton. He's the best football player I've ever played with, and he's a better teammate than he is a football player.
Now, to continue with this Andrew Luck situation, now we have to look at the actual Colts team itself. What does this mean for the Colts team? Of course, the team was very solid. An elite quarterback puts them at a level where they can always compete for a Super Bowl. You remove Andrew Luck from that equation. You insert Jacoby Brissett as a starting quarterback. You have an entirely different outcome for a season. Now, Jacoby Brissett, as far as backups go, is probably one of the best backups in the NFL. I don't think the team is going to be absolutely miserable like a lot of people are thinking they will. Now, if Jacoby Brissett goes down, which is a possibility, then that is a different situation. Then the Colts could be one of the worst teams in the NFL. But with Jacoby Brissett, this is still probably around a 6-win team in my mind. I would put them around there. I don't think they're going to be absolutely terrible. I think if you're thinking fantasy football, this has very severe implications for the main receiver weapons like T.Y. Hilton and Devin Funches. That, of course, goes down. Eric Ebron, who appeared to have a really nice connection with Andrew Luck, that will probably go down as well. And then Jack Doyle, who Andrew Luck loved to throw to for years, will also go down. There's just no one on this offense that's going to benefit from the fact you're losing an elite quarterback, aside from maybe Marlon Mack, who could get more touches. But T.Y. Hilton, according to Matthew Berry, was still getting a 20% target share from Jacoby Brissett. So don't treat T.Y. Hilton like he's absolutely useless now. T.Y. Hilton very much is an elite receiver, should be respected, has always been one of the quickest and most elite route runners in the NFL. Don't think he's useless now. Just know that his value goes down a little bit. Now, we move on to Lamar Miller tearing his ACL. I mean, it looked about as obvious as it could be. He had the cart brought out for him. It was a direct hit, helmet to his knee. You saw it buckle, and then he had to be carted off. Pretty quickly, they were able to report that it was indeed a torn ACL for Lamar Miller. So, of course, he will miss the remainder of this season. Now, the Texans made a trade a few weeks ago to acquire Browns running back slash slot receiver, I guess, Duke Johnson. And Duke Johnson has been a very underrated back. He's just always been unfortunate to be on the Browns. And then last year, unfortunate to be buried in a deep depth chart that would have been even deeper this year with Kareem Hunt. So insert Duke Johnson here. He has a real possibility in my mind to have over 1,000 total yards, both receiving and rushing. At least at the beginning of the season, I see him being a workhorse back, unless the Texans elect to bring someone in. Because if you look at this Texans depth chart, the running back, there is some serious needs there. So it wouldn't surprise me if the Texans were to go out and make a trade for someone. I'm looking at guys like Mike Davis from Chicago. I'm looking at other guys like Carlos Hyde over there in Kansas City, who's not really going to do much. And some people are suggesting for the Miami Dolphins to trade him Kenyon Drake or even Kalen Ballage. And while I think both of those options would probably be better than the other two that I mentioned, but that also means it'll be a steeper price to pay. And I'm not sure if the Texans will want to do that for a running back position just because they made a trade for one running back and you really start to see the devaluing of this position. I think the Texans are aware of it. They have more important needs. I think their cornerbacks are kind of weak. And then, of course, their whole offensive line is a mess. So I don't expect the Texans to really go out and make a huge trade for running back, but I do expect them to kind of try to bring someone else in just to help out a little bit. Maybe even Adrian Peterson is a possibility. So keep an eye on that. Now, to kind of stick with the Texans a little bit, because this is going to kind of transition into the Miami Dolphins trade talk rumors. And there was initially reports that the Dolphins were interested in Jadeveon Clowney. And I talked about this before. The Dolphins don't strike me as a team that should be interested in Jadeveon Clowney. That's a one-year rental. Even if you have with all certainty that he's going to sign long-term, he could back out if he wants to. And that's always such a dangerous risk to take. I don't see the need for them to trade a draft pick for a guy who may not even be with the team long-term. Is he a great asset? Absolutely. But just the fact that you don't know if he's going to be there for the future, which is what the Dolphins are mainly looking at, that loses a bunch of logic in my mind. Another reason is because how do you get Jadeveon Clowney? Who do you trade exactly? The Texans need an offensive lineman, so they started connecting these dots about, oh, well, maybe the Dolphins will trade Laremy Tunsil. And that is probably one of the most absolutely ridiculous propositions that I've heard in regards to the NFL this season. The Dolphins, their main weakness right now is the offensive line. Like, don't get that mistaken. There are needs everywhere on the team, but the most glaring one is the offensive line. So why would they trade a possible elite left tackle, because that's what his trajectory is, to be elite? Why would they trade him on a rookie deal and make that need even worse in order to get a defensive lineman slash linebacker, which seems to be a pretty decent position now for the Dolphins? There's still, you know, there could be more added. Of course, adding Clowney makes it way better, but as far as losing Tunsil, that will absolutely crush this offensive line. But there are reports that the Texans are interested in acquiring another wide receiver to go back behind Will Fuller. Of course, Kiki Cutie has been dealing with a lot of injuries as well as Will Fuller throughout their careers. So that I see as a possibility for a trade with the Dolphins. Maybe Kenny Stills. I've been saying that before, and I was saying that has nothing to do with his protest, has nothing to do with any kind of beef between him and Brian Flores or any kind of disagreements between him and Stephen Ross. It has more to do with the fact that his contract is ending soon. He still has some sort of value. He's probably one of the most talented guys on this team, so he could still get some value in return. So that's why I see Kenny Stills as one of the guys who could be traded, and of course Rashad Jones as well. So when it comes to Clowney, I don't think the Dolphins will trade any draft picks. They, of course, won't trade Laremy Tunsil. And Kenny Stills, though, I could see that as a possibility. But now with the whole Lamar Miller situation, this does change things up a little bit. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the idea of the Dolphins shopping everybody, because the whole thing was that the Dolphins were shopping Tunsil. Pro Football Network was reporting that the Dolphins were shopping Tunsil. And then they kind of backpedaled a little bit and say, well, the Dolphins are shopping everybody, technically. I mean, they're willing to listen to offers. And that's very different arguments to make in my mind. Shopping someone means you're actively looking to trade them. And then listening to offers, that's what a team will do to any player on the team. There's no player on any NFL team that isn't worth listening to an offer from. Laremy Tunsil, if they offer several first round picks, then he's gone. But I think the Dolphins know that very well that no team is going to offer that. So I think the fact that reporting that Laremy Tunsil is on the trade block was kind of unnecessary because every player, if you're looking at it that way, then is on the trade block. Guys who are truly on the trade block are teams that are actively looking to be moved. And while the Dolphins are rebuilding, they could definitely use every draft pick they could get. Laremy Tunsil, in my mind, is not somebody that the Dolphins are actively looking for teams to make a trade with. If a team goes and approaches them and gives them some ludicrous offer and they're willing to do it, then okay, but I don't see the Dolphins actively going around looking for teams to make a deal with. Now, the last thing in today's episode that I'm going to be talking about is Kyler Murray's performance. This game was against the Minnesota Vikings, and of course, Kyler Murray was coming off that really, really bad performance against the Oakland Raiders where they were just sending blitzes and blitzes and blitzes at him. Well, Kyler Murray was able to bounce back in this one and have a pretty decent performance. He went 14 for 21, 137 yards, and he had 9 yards rushing on the ground. Now, the stats may not look too impressive, but he had some very nice throws in this game, including one very deep throw to Demir Byrd, which was a fade route, and he placed it beautifully. Another great throw from him was, I believe it was also to Byrd. It was in the corner of the end zone, and it was placed about as perfectly as it could be placed. There was a defender trailing right behind, and the only issue was the receiver couldn't get 2 feet inbound. It was a very tough catch to make. It was also a very difficult throw to make, though, so I do give Kyler Murray props on that. Now, the thing with Murray that I noticed in this game, and I've always said that he has a cannon of an arm, but in this game in particular, when he's in the pocket, he looks so nonchalant, and I don't know if that's a good thing yet or if it's a bad thing. I think it's just kind of his play style, so he's always loose enough to make a run if that's what he needs to do. But when he's in the pocket, he seems to be standing almost statuesque until he has to run. It's a very interesting thing to watch. And when he makes some throws, it's almost like he doesn't get his hips involved, or he doesn't plant his feet or use his legs as much when he's throwing, and he's just flicking it with his wrist, very Aaron Rodgers-esque in that aspect. But with him, it works out. So watching him throw the ball is really a marvelous thing. He gets a lot of power on it. Both of those deep passes, the one in the corner of the end zone I talked about in the fade, just looked, again, I've been saying this about so many people, but it looked really just effortless. He just threw it out there, but it was such a nice pass. So I'm not worried about the player, Kyler Murray, right now that much. I'm worried more about the offense he's in, this Cliff Kingsbury kind of offense. And I'm also worried about him in the sense of these weapons that he has around him are also pretty bad. So I'm not going to use this season against Kyler Murray too much unless it's just completely bad and you can tell it falls on him a lot of the times. Because what I've seen from him is him suffering from receivers not being able to create separation, from plays that really lack creativity, but of course this is the preseason, and just not a lot of vertical threats and not a lot of downfield movement. It's just too sideways. It seems like they're playing for the 2 yard gains on every single play. And of course, this is the preseason. This is vanilla. But I just want to see this offense be opened up more and really see what Kyler Murray can do with this cannon of an arm. Now, one little tiny knock, I don't know if it's something to note as an issue that could be something that's consistent with him, but he had several passes batted down, and the commentator made sure to remind everyone every single play, the diminutive Kyler Murray, the 5'10 Kyler Murray, the tiny quarterback Kyler Murray. Well, I don't know if that attributed to so many passes being knocked down, but he had quite a bit in this game be swatted either at the line of scrimmage or by a lurking defensive back in the flats. So that's something to keep in mind. But Kyler Murray, at least from a talent perspective, looks like he's all there, so I'm not worried about him too much. And that is how I'm going to wrap up this episode, guys. Let me know what you think. As always, you can like the podcast and rate it on the Apple Podcast app. If you can, follow me on Twitter. That is @ShadySteven and @ViaTheSource. I appreciate all the new follows. It really does mean a lot. I did get a new rating on the podcast app, and I'm glad to get new listeners. So you don't know how much that made my day. That was awesome. Thank you for the review. And as always, guys, it was a pleasure to be your host. And thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Steven Masso, and this was Via the Source.